On Easter Sunday morning, we have perhaps the most wonderful gospel reading of the entire New Testament, though we all have our favourites. But certainly the church seems to have its favourites, because this gospel reading is chosen for Easter Sunday morning, the most important day of the year for the church. It is the gospel where Mary Magdalene goes to the tomb. And there is nobody there. The tomb is empty. And she runs and tells the disciples, Peter and the other disciple. And the extraordinary thing is that Mary is the first witness to the resurrection. She is the first person to spread the news. And in the ancient church, she was given the title Apostola Apostolorum, the apostle to the apostles. So it's an extraordinary dignity. And we sometimes wonder, you know, what is the place of women in the church? When we might ask ourselves, where would the church be without the original witness to the resurrection? Mary Magdalene. So we are very privileged to have Mary, and she brings Peter and the other disciple to the tomb, and they have their little race, and the other disciple gets there first and then Peter. It is a wonderful story, the race to the tomb. Many younger children love it, and they think of the two running side by side and then one outpacing the other. But it speaks of something of the energy of Easter, the energy of the resurrection, the energy of new life. The fact that the other disciple is named is also important. The disciple is anonymous, and I think that's somewhat deliberate, because the disciple could be any disciple. It could be you, it could be me, it could be anyone who is willing to take the news from Mary and run with it. So there is something very, very, very special about this scene. We might ask ourselves for a moment about the risen Christ, because people get confused. Mary Magdalene won't recognize Jesus immediately, and the other disciples don't recognize him immediately. And why might that be? Because they've spent much time with him. So Jesus is no longer the same. There has been a change. The earthly Jesus that walked around Palestine is no longer. It is now the risen Christ. And they will come to recognize the risen Christ, but with his wounds. Christ who has suffered, died, and risen for us. And it is the risen Christ that at the end of all the Gospels that is with the disciples. And it is the risen Christ that is with the disciples in the Acts of the Apostles, with the communities of St. Paul in his letters. It is the risen Christ that is with us today, and that is as accessible to us as to the first disciples. They have no privilege over us in terms of access to Christ, because the risen Christ is everywhere. We see that in the Gospel of Luke. He is both in Jerusalem and also on the road to Emmaus. He is both inside and outside, on a road, in a house. There are no limits to the risen Christ's presence. So we have this idea that the first disciples had this great privilege, of course, of being the first. But they don't have an exclusive privilege of access to the risen Christ. That is shared with each and every Christian. So The story of the Peter and the other disciple at the tomb, they see the cloths, they see the headband. Peter sees them first because he gets to go in. And then the other disciple goes in. He sees and believes. We see them, this pair, through the gospel, and we'll see them later on. And they work together, in a sense. And they learn about Jesus together. And I think it's a really good image for us Christians that we can point one another on the road to Christ. And many people are reluctant now, parents or grandparents or maybe even brothers and sisters, to point their siblings, their children, even their friends on the road. But maybe we should be more courageous and show people the road to new life. Show people the road to true happiness. Because that is what we are called to be blessed, to be subjects of the Beatitudes, to be blessed through and through in our lives.
Just listening to what you said there a little bit earlier about Mary Magdalene believing and going and spreading,
yes,
the word. And now you're talking about that maybe we're called to be more courageous.
Yes.
What is it? How do we limit ourselves? How do we stop ourselves?
I would say one of the images we have of Jesus throughout his ministry is that he goes up every evening a mountain or a desert place to pray and to be in touch with Christ in prayer and to be more aware of his presence in our lives. And when we are and we become more aware of Christ's presence in our lives, there's an inner joy that we cannot really restrain or contain and that we want to share. And the other night, praying with the Blessed Sacrament, I simply said, I want to share the gospel in a prayer. And it's strange that I should now be speaking to you after that prayer, but it just spontaneously arose because of the joy that was received through prayer with our Lord. So there is the more we listen to Christ, the more we pray and communicate with Christ, the more we want to share that with others.
And you're saying this is not exclusively for people living in monasteries?
Oh, not at all. No. We have a large number of people in the hinterland here in Limerick and Tipperary who come here and are great people of prayer. And they are like apostles, and many of them are like Mary Magdalene, going out and bringing others here. Others who may have had bereavements, others who may have had split-ups, divorces, whatever, all sorts are brought here by people of prayer to find a new opportunity of finding Christ in their life. But it happens in homes all around Ireland, where people, parents, pray with their children, where children pray with their parents sometimes. And because sometimes parents have maybe gone a bit cool, but their children come home from school having learned the prayers and want to pray with their parents. So maybe we could be open in many ways. And St. Benedict says sometimes it is the young who can teach us.
So we have Lent and then we have the Easter celebration. And that's really the beginning of something again.
The Easter celebration is really the beginning of this season of grace, where our Lord's grace, the Easter grace, the graces of the Easter mystery are poured out on his faithful, and we become more like Christ in these 50 days. And we are blessed with many gifts, the gifts of the Spirit that have been given to us in baptism. This is a privileged time to become more aware of them, to receive them, to accept them, and to live more in harmony with the Spirit. we tend to focus only on Lent as a time of preparation and a time of fasting, prayer and almsgiving, which is very good, and it opens us up to receiving the gift of new life at Easter. But then we must come to welcome that new life, live in that new life and share that new life.
It seems to me that we're better at making the effort than receiving. And I think it's true in many of our lives. We're much better at giving than at receiving.
There is a difficulty, of course, in receiving, because in giving, sometimes we can feel that we're in a sense of superiority, that we're in charge, we can dictate, we can do it in our time scale. Whereas receiving, it happens when we're unawares. But there's something lovely about being receptive and open. And I think of Jesus walking through Galilee when he was going to heal the daughter of Jairus. And this woman with a hemorrhage came along and touched his cloak and stopped him. He was on an important journey to heal the daughter of Jairus. But he stopped to take his time with that woman and to ensure that she was okay and that she had come to faith. And so we have example after example of Jesus being interrupted, pulled aside. And I think that readiness to allow our busy lives to be interrupted by moments of grace, to allow, let them break in, be open to them, I think that's really important. And this Eastertide is a moment maybe for learning that, to share in the superabundance of gifts and graces that you and I have received at Easter, to share them with others. And maybe that's the best evangelization we can do.